Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
And welcome to Revitalize. Thank you, Dan Hirsch. Dan did a better job of introducing that than I did. Dan is not with us this week. I know you. I hear that collective sigh out across North America and all the ships at sea as you listen to this podcast. but Dan will be back with us again soon, I promise. He's just out making a lot of money doing movie trailers and such.
He's an important guy.
He is an important guy. Mark Halleck, who's here with me.
I'm not as important.
He and I are not important.
No.
And Kyle Bierman down here playing Candy Crush, he's not too important either. But he is running our board for us. And we are, once again, this series of podcasts is done in the church building of the Linwood Baptist Church. Check us out at linwoodsbc.com. Learn all about us. Little town of 400 people. Church was replanted 4 years ago with three remaining members. And last Sunday, they had 58 people here. And they've baptized 29 folks in the last 4 years.
Just to encourage you real quick.
Yep.
It really is. It's a miracle what the Lord's done here. I mean, it really is. And the Lord used you. The Lord used you, used others as well. But you need to be encouraged, man. This is your vision, your leadership to see this little church come back to life. It's incredible, man. So anyway, I just want folks need to know, because you won't say it because you're too humble, that you aren't just a guy who is a guy that has all this theory on what it means and looks like to revitalize churches, but you've done it over and over, and you're doing it right now, and you've done it here. And I just think that's why so many of us love you, man.
Oh, well.
That's why we love you, and we want to learn from you.
Isn't that sweet?
And, well, I mean it. And I know you don't like it, and you feel awkward, and I don't care.
Right. I do feel awkward. But I do like this church, and it's a great little church and a great little town. It's like so many little towns across North America, 400 people with no churches. They need a church, and proof of it is that Lord is working here in Linwood. This little church has come roaring back to life, and couldn't be happier. The building looks great. Remodel it inside and out. Serves the community. But we'll talk about that some other time. Here's what we're talking about today. Our good friend, Mr. Brian Croft, he gives us five reasons why a shrinking church might be a good thing.
Wow.
A shrinking church. A shrinking church. By the way, do you know, went the other day, and I was buying my grandchildren some pajamas. My wife wanted me to buy the kids some pajamas. This is way back at Christmas, you know,
okay.
Christmas pajamas.
Sure, sure.
And a little tag on it said, these are shrink-resistant. And Jill said, what's that mean? I said, well, it means they shrink, they just don't want to. I'm here all week.
He's here all week, folks. Here in Linwood.
I waited so long to find a place to use that joke.
You've been waiting all day.
Forever. And here's this. Right here in my hand.
It's perfect.
Here's this script that says shrinkage in a church.
Okay.
So
okay.
Why could church shrinkage?
Okay, be a good
your
thing.
Church getting numerically smaller.
Yeah.
Why might that be a good sign?
Yeah. And Cross gives us five.
He gives us five. Yeah. Not four.
Not three.
Not six.
Yeah.
Five.
Five.
Ready?
Okay, what's the first one?
Well, hopefully it's getting smaller because your members might be leaving to help replant or revitalize or plant other churches.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
When was the last time somebody from your church left to help start or revitalize another church? And if that's never happened, you need to ask yourself as a pastor why.
Well, yeah, and what? Okay, so here's another heart question. If you hear that and you don't like that answer, you don't like that, what's going on in your heart?
Exactly.
You know?
Maybe one of the reasons no one has left to replant or plant or help revitalize a church is you've pretty made it clear you need them here and you couldn't do without them.
They would feel guilty.
You're not encouraging people.
Yeah.
If God calls you to help revitalize a church or plant a church, we want to support you in that. Mm-hmm. And even though it may mean numerically, I mean, if you're a church like this one of 50, 60 people and a family of five leave, well, now you're down by, what, 10% maybe, you know, something like that, right?
Yep.
And so, and plus you lose, obviously, the financial and the hours that they work and their volunteer hours, you lose all of that, right? Are you creating an environment as a pastor where you're encouraging missionary activity or you're sort of saying we really need you here?
And let me say this too. And the reason why we need to pray that the Lord would give us a heart like this is because here's the truth. When you become a church that holds people loosely and you send people out, here's the reality. The Lord is honored in that. And it also forces you on your knees to be a praying church. I know as our church has planted and replanted churches, one of the ongoing pieces of that is, man, we never get too comfortable.
Right.
You know? And so again, I would just say, what's holding you back, pastor or leader, from holding your people more loosely, and I would say even encouraging them and being creative in how you can help either plant
or
revitalize
churches. There are five
churches.
Of these. Did I mention that?
Yeah, there's five. And that's the
okay.
first one.
Well,
we're
going to do three that are pretty much similar and then two that are not.
Okay, cool.
Three of these things are like each other, two are not.
Okay, so what's the second one that's like the first one?
That members might leave to actually become a missionary on the mission field overseas.
Oh, wow, I like that.
I mean, again, when I grew up, my dad was always, many times in invitations that we would have on Sunday night or Sunday morning, not only invitation to join the church, invitation for salvation, but he would often say, is God calling you maybe to the mission field? Mm. Is this? And we would talk about missionaries and hear about missionaries. Where do you think missionaries come from?
Yeah.
They
yeah.
come from local churches.
From the church, that's right.
And so is your church shrinking by seeing missionaries actually go and leave and be part of a mission field from your church? How exciting that would be.
I love that, man. I love it.
You know, again, I know we always think about church growth and trying to grow numerically and reach more people, and we should. But sometimes it's a good thing if our church shrinks, if it's shrinking because one of our key families is planting a church or helping revitalize a church. And another key family is working to become a missionary in a very unreached people group far, far away from home.
Yeah.
I mean, look,
dude, I love it,
and
man.
And thirdly, it goes right along with it. We're actually raising up pastors.
Yeah, yeah.
Young men that will not only be elders, but could actually be a pastor.
That's right.
And training them to be a pastor. And then sending them out to start preaching on Sunday mornings in some churches that don't have pastors. And perhaps seeing if that's what God would have them be, ordain them, and then send them out to be pastors.
Listen, seminaries are really important. We love our seminaries. But seminaries don't make a pastor. The local churches do.
Right.
Local churches are the one places where we raise up and send out pastors. And you know, when we look at these three things, I mean, really what we're talking about here is, why is shrinking a good thing? Part of what this all these three things do is point to the fact that the kingdom of God matters more than my little kingdom.
Exactly.
Right? The kingdom of God, we should be about building the kingdom for the glory of God, not my little kingdom, because it's not about you or me.
In fact, in many ways, in order for the kingdom to grow, your church may need to shrink temporarily.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, when the church in Jerusalem, which was under tremendous persecution and had a complete disruption of its membership, many of its members had fled. Then they heard about what was going on in Antioch.
Mm.
And what did they do? They sent Barnabas to stay there for a year.
Yep.
I mean, they shrank even more, right?
Yep.
And I think sometimes we have to understand your job as a pastor isn't simply to grow numerically. It's to say, how can the kingdom grow because of my ministry? Mm-hmm. And I will tell you this, on these three ways, sending out families to go help plant or replant or revitalize a church, sending out families to go to the foreign mission field, sending out young men and their families to be a pastor of another church. You know what? If the Lord allows 50 years from now, when you look at your ministry, the wake that you've left behind, it's going to be so much bigger because of that than if they all stayed in your local church.
Totally.
You're going to say, man, that missionary and that unreached people group, that guy planted that church, and out of that church was planted, and that family revitalized that church. And you're going to look, and I can tell you from perspective, as I look back on my life, what encourages me the most are the young families I invested in that are now doing ministry in a variety of places across the globe.
Yeah.
And you can do that. And if you'll have that kind of vision and picture. So sometimes you pray the Lord, shrink my church.
Yeah, that's right.
And by that, I mean shrink it by sending out some folks.
That's right. That's
and you exactly got to speak like that on Sunday mornings and put that in your sermon and give people permission that you're not abandoning us. You're not walking away from us. If God calls you, we want to send you, man.
Yeah.
We want to endorse you and send you on your way.
I love that, man.
Okay, then there are two other reasons. Those are the three.
Okay.
But two other reasons your church might shrink, and this might be a good thing. We'll save the harsh one for the last.
Okay.
The other was that sometimes members relocate simply to improve their family situation.
Mm, that is true.
And you need to encourage that.
Yes.
They might need to be closer to an aging mom and dad. I got to take care of them.
Yep.
They might need a better job. And yep. God's provided an opportunity for them to have a much better income and a better standard of living somewhere else where they can bless more people and do. There are certain times that it makes sense for that family to move, to improve their entire family situation.
Yes.
And you need to be grateful for that.
Yeah. Don't make them feel guilty over this.
And don't be resentful over it.
That's right.
And don't like, oh, we're not going to make it without you. Oh, we're going to, certainly we're going to miss you, but the Lord will, this is his church.
That's right.
He'll build it. And wherever you go, man, you're going to take a little bit of us with you. And we're going to always enjoy that we got to know you and that you were part of us. And look, anytime somebody leaves your church as a pastor, it hurts.
Yeah.
It does. It really hurts, and it's hard to get over. But if they're moving to improve their family situation or take care of a loved one or whatever reason they might need, sometimes it's even something as real as we have a child with a health need. We got to be closer to a certain kind of hospital or a certain kind of physicians. All those kind of things can happen, and those aren't bad things.
Nope.
Those are things because those people are doing what needs to be done in taking care of their family.
And in fact, what I would encourage you to do, and this is one of the beauties of a normative-sized church, is on their last Sunday, bring them before the church and pray over them and send them out. It does a couple things. One, it encourages them that they know they are loved, they're cared for, you're going to be praying for them. It helps the congregation. I mean, this is when we see Paul leaving. I mean, Ephesus, right? The elders at Ephesus. Mm-hmm. There's a mourning, there's a grieving that we should experience together. But I would say better to bring them before the church, pray for them, send them out, bless them.
Right.
Then allow, here's the other thing, because the other thing is, if we don't do that kind of thing, Satan can sneak in, well, I heard they left for this reason.
That's right.
You know, or I know that they weren't, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
And now there's division instead of celebration.
Right.
But pastor, you have to lead that.
That's right.
You've got to create ascending culture.
That's right.
And you've got to lead the way in that.
So I want you to think about this, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone who's listening, from our friend Brian Croft. Sometimes you want your church to actually shrink in size. If that shrinkage means, I did just say shrinkage, by the way, if that shrinkage means people are leaving to replant or revitalize a church, people are leaving to improve their family situation, people are leaving to become a missionary on the mission field, or people are leaving in order to pastor a church, and you've raised up pastors. But there's a fourth,
there's a fifth reason.
Fifth
one, what is it?
A fifth one, and this is real, but it's hard. Sometimes your church needs to become smaller by seeing the departure of divisive or unregenerate members.
Yep. I was thinking you were going to go there. And you need to go there because it's true.
You do. You are there to protect the flock.
Yes.
Guys.
Say that again.
You're there to protect the entire flock.
That's right.
And you are the shepherd. And if there's some wolves in sheep clothing, if there's some the members who are continually divisive and won't respond to church discipline, if there are some members who are truly unregenerate and won't respond to the gospel or to any kind of biblical instruction, at some point in time, you're going to have to pray and hopefully that those people will find a way to leave. I do know this. There are certainly unregenerate church members. And if you preach, if your messages are Christ-centered and gospel-centered week after week after week, They will not tolerate that. They will push back against that. They're not going to come to you and say, quit preaching about Jesus. Mm-hmm. They'll find other things to be upset with you about. But they're okay if you preach little moralistic tales of how to be a better dad, how to be a better employer, you know, how to love people more. They'll be fine with that. But you start teaching and preaching Christ and the cross and redemption and salvation and the atonement and substitutionary atonement week after week after week, and they're not going to be happy. So one of two things is going to happen. They're going to get really mad at you and cause a lot more problems, or they're going to leave.
Or they'll get saved.
Or they'll get saved. Thank you. That's the
third
thing.
Or they'll get saved. Three things.
Right.
But you're right.
They're going to get mad and cause problems. They're going to leave, or they're going to get saved.
Yep.
And so I think when it comes to unregenerate church members, you really have to pray that they will become regenerate or that they will leave the body for the sake of the flock. And for divisive church members, that's a whole other subject on church discipline. Go back and look at our library. Yep. We've done podcasts on church discipline. But if you don't deal with divisive church members, it will not get better. It'll only get worse.
That's right.
So sometimes your church growing smaller is a good thing for four reasons that is basically kingdom expansion.
Yes.
And for one reason, which is basically protecting the flock.
Protection. That's good.
Right?
Yep.
All right. That's all we have. If you want to know how to make your church smaller, you've tuned into the right podcast. We're here to help every day we can. All right? We promise. You know, we don't help you break the 200 barrier. We'll help you break the 50 barrier going the other way.
Just keep getting lower.
That's right. Keep getting smaller. It'll get so small that it's just you and your wife. And then you'll wonder about her. Is she really regenerate? Anyway, check us out at churchreplanters.com, and we love having you here.
We do.
Five of you, anyway. Some of you, not so much.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor, or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.